This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Thus ends the reading.
The parable that Ann just shared in Luke is a lesson about God, about how and who God is. It's not just a nice little story about prayer. Jesus was probably one of the greatest teachers of all time. And here he uses a creative teaching method. Well, anyway, Jesus is using this creative teaching method here, where he is using the opposite of something, or in this case, someone, to make a point. "For goodness sake," Jesus says, "if an unjust, disrespectful judge who's afraid of nobody, who fears nothing, hears the case of a poor widow, just to avoid getting embarrassed by her constant nagging, well then how much more will God, the God of justice and compassion, the God of ancient prophets, the God of love, how much more will that God hear our prayers, the prayers of God's own children?" Certainly, Jesus is talking about the nature of the God to whom we pray, to whom we have the privilege to bring our hurts and our pains and our joys. And once again, Jesus takes a figure from the edge of society to make his point. One of the commentators that I read this week in thinking about this sermon said, you have to know I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I did a little bit of Hebrew in seminary, but I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But he made the point that the word for widow in Hebrew can be translated as silent one. Christine is shaking her head back there, so. Or one unable to speak. In the patriarchal Mediterranean world of Jesus' time, you know, women didn't have a lot of rights, and they frequently couldn't speak for themselves. But in this parable, Jesus has a widow, the silent one, finding her voice and speaking up for herself. And the Bible, throughout both Testaments, has a place for widows, orphans, those on the margin in God's heart, in God's world. In this little story, I hear Jesus not only teaching about prayer, but also about justice. And about faith. Now, he talks about all those a lot. About justice, about faith, about prayer. A couple weeks ago, in a sermon, I talked briefly about faith. And I said, when a lectionary reading was about having the faith of a mustard seed, so that you could, in Luke, move a tree into the water. In other stories, it's about, you know, moving a mountain. That it's really, I think, about trust. About trust. I've come to understand faith as primarily about trust. In a little book by Marcus Borg more than a couple years ago now, The Heart of Christianity, which is an excellent text. If you've never read Borg's Heart of Christianity, Robin is shaking her head positively. It's one of those texts that I recommend. Borg speaks of more than just believing the correct things in your head. He writes, "You can believe all the right things and still be miserable. You can believe all the right things and still be relatively unchanged. Believing a set of claims to be true has very little transforming power," close quotes. And then he goes on and he speaks about faith as being a relationship, with giving your heart and your trust, your radical trust to God. And Borg draws on the works of the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard, who wrote once, quote, "Faith as trust is like floating on a deep ocean. Faith is like floating in 70,000 fathoms of water. If you struggle, if you tense up and thrash about, you will eventually sink. But if you relax and trust, you will float," quotes. He even uses the example of teaching a child to swim and trying to get the child to relax and accept the buoyancy of the water, to trust that it'll float. And Borg describes faith as trusting in the buoyancy of God. Faith is trust in the buoyancy of God. Kate Huey, who is an acquaintance, maybe a friend of mine, I guess you would say, she's on the national staff of the United Church of Christ, and I can't remember exact job title. It keeps changing as they keep shifting responsibilities and downsizing at the national level. But Kate wrote once about herself, and she said until she was age 40, she was terrified of the water. She didn't know how to swim. She said she had never put her face under the water. She was terrified. And one summer, they were on a family vacation by the seaside, and where they were staying, there was also a swimming pool. And her 10-year-old son, I think his name was Doug, she and Doug were the only ones in the pool one day. And she had made sure her kids got swimming lessons so they didn't inherit her fear of the water. And Kate said she was in the shallow, safe end of the pool. And her son was at the other end, holding onto the side, shivering. And he was determined that this was the day that Mom was going to learn how to swim. And he told her, if you close your eyes and hold your breath and relax, the water will hold you up. And she was terrified. But then he demonstrated for her. And Kate said, with all of her strength that she could muster, she went into the deep end. She held her breath. She tried to relax. And what do you know? She floated. It took her 10-year-old son to overcome 40 years of fear for her to place her trust that the water would keep her afloat. Can we trust in the buoyancy of God? On this children's Sabbath, that story is really powerful and poignant because it's our children who often remind us what we seem to forget so easily, that having faith is about relationship. It is about trust. About trusting in the goodness and reliability of someone more powerful than we are. Can we trust in a God who is loving and caring and compassionate, who invites us to take all of our hopes and all of our hurts in prayer? May we trust in the buoyancy of God. Amen.